You are tuned in to Lightworkers Lounge, a podcast for spiritual souls on their journey of enlightening the world. I'm your host, Stephanie Powers. Welcome.
Coffee I am sipping on is good. It's hot black coffee that I brew with my French press here in my treehouse. It's a rainy day here in the Florida Keys, and it's kind of nice. You know, you always want what you don't have. Usually it's hot and sunny here, and so when it's overcast and rainy, it's kind of nice. Nice shake-up. Ask me that 5 years ago when I was living in New Hampshire. Always want what I don't have. Hi, guys. Thank you for tuning into Lightworkers Lounge. I'm so happy you're here. I feel so connected to you. You guys have been sending me emails, direct messages. A lot of you follow my personal Instagram now, at Stephanie's_destiny. And we have the most enlightening conversations in the comment section. You guys are awesome. And real quick, before we jump to this episode, I just want to send you gratitude. I didn't even plan on doing this. It just totally popped in my mind. Because Instagram can be a place of bullying and trolls and people who will just never understand you and pick you apart because what you do isn't in alignment with what they believe. But we're almost at 10,000 people who follow my personal account where I share very personal details about my life. I'm so vulnerable on there. It's like the Instagram version of the podcast. But I've not had one single person who has said something mean to me. Not one. And I hope it stays that way. So I'm sending you guys so much love and gratitude and acknowledgement for being so open-minded, because I'm sure there's things I post or pictures I post where you're like, oh, geez, because it's not something you would do, not something you would share, but you keep it to yourself, which is so respectful and mature. So just want to send you guys, tip my hat to you and say thank you. Okay, this podcast episode, we brought on our resident astrologer, as I call her now, because it's her third time coming on the show. Tara Jade Starr. I met her in Telluride over the summer when I was living there. I went to this figure out your life's purpose through your birth chart, through astrology, and lo and behold, my life purpose is to teach and educate through spirituality. But I learned so much from this woman, Tara. She's my favorite Scorpio. She is just, you'll hear her. She's so well-spoken. She explains things so beautifully. And I'm so happy she came on the show today to share what is in store for us in the cosmos in 2020. She calls it the Great Transformation. And soon you'll see why. Here's Tara. Hi, Tara. Welcome back to Lightworkers Lounge.
Hi, Stephanie. Happy to be here.
Yes, you are our resident astrologer, as I called you on Instagram.
I love it.
Yes. So I am so excited to have you back on the show because we are going through a lot of cosmic shifts, and you and I have emailed back and forth a little bit about it. What is going on in 2020? We're entering a brand new decade. I feel like this is huge.
It is huge, and that is due because this is the year of the Great Transformation. So that has to do with the meeting of three powerful players in the sky of Jupiter, Pluto, and Saturn. And so they haven't all met together in the sky like this in the sign of Capricorn for 733 years. So that's a really long time that we've been building up to this kind of climactic energy. And what it is, you know, Capricorn really loves to build a strong foundation. And Saturn is the ruling planet of Capricorn. So Saturn's there and it rules authority figures and it rules tradition and it rules the patriarchy and kind of taking a long time to build up. Whereas Pluto to me is such a powerful planet because it does rule power, but it also rules transformation, but it also rules death and rebirth and destruction in a sense. And so, you know, then you bring in Jupiter, which is the planet of expansion, which pretty much magnifies whatever it touches. And so it kind of makes it bigger than life. And so with those two, with like, I see it as like authority figures are going through this huge kind of power struggle. And I think it's a, you know, a power play of even our planet's resources and that sort of thing. I mean, many different astrologers can see it different ways, but I also see it wherever there's cracks in our foundation of even just like our societal institutions or governmental institutions. I think we're going to see them kind of breaking down. And that's what Pluto does. It kind of breaks down whatever isn't solid. And you know, Capricorn and Saturn both long to create that solid foundation for us to live, you know, to live by for the next 28 and a half years when Saturn kind of comes back around to Capricorn again. But this is such a large cycle that's been playing out for, you know, almost over 700 years now. And so this is, and it's going to, we're going to be feeling the effects of it all year long. And that's because the planets are going to keep retrograding and going direct, you know, over each other so many times, literally from the beginning of January towards the end of this year, that it's like, there's no escaping it. It's like, this is the energy of the year. And it is really powerful. And it is really exciting because I think we're going to see major breakthroughs, but major breakdowns in a sense of like the old system collapsing.
Wow. And we've been leading up to that. I could feel this since like 2008 almost, maybe, that people are shifting. They're more curious about vegan diets. They're more curious about holistic health and medicine.
Yeah. And I think what we're realizing too, it's like, I think on a larger scale, it's like, we can't keep up the lifestyle we've been living. That's not going to work for the future. And so the thing that's transforming, it's like, we're transforming, you know, how we live, how we do life, what can we do so that we can feel the most alive, but also kind of living, you know, in harmony. And so in order to do that, we have to change our basic, you know, social structure.
Mm-hmm. Wow. 2020 is intense.
It is intense. And we go right into 2020 in the eclipse portal. So
that's right. The 12, are you talking about the 12-12, the 12-21?
Yes. So, well, not that a portal, but that is a portal as well. And that's more because we're moving into the darkest days, let's say, because December 21st is seen as the day with the most, you know, the least amount of light. And so if you look at that metaphorically, it's like the subconscious mind kind of takes over, and it is a lot of, you know, it is a time of being able to be more psychic, more intuitive. It's actually the best day for meditation. It's all about going inward. If you're in the northern hemisphere, it's completely opposite if you're in the southern hemisphere. But as we go into these kind of darkest days leading up to the winter solstice, it's a time of reflection and releasing and kind of purging. And it's almost like we're doing a recapitulation of the entire year, you know, what has manifested, looking at the positives and the negatives. And then after 2021, or, you know, after December 21st, we start increasing the light day by day. So then we're moving into the light. But right now we're moving into, let's say, our shadow aspects of ourself, you know, trying to do that soul work. And it's intense and it's deep. And if you think about it, this is the time of year when everyone's so busy with the holidays and going here, there, and everywhere. It's like everyone's distracted from finding their center and being quiet and being able to go inward.
That is incredible. And it's so true. And that's why people's traumas and shadow work just keeps getting delayed and delayed until they just burst. Now, exactly. Can we talk about this full moon in Gemini that we just had?
Yes, the full moon in Gemini we just had, that was, I mean, Gemini really, it has to do with our mental state. And it has to do with communication and thoughts and ideas. And it can be a very superficial energy. And it's like a busyness energy. It's like almost like it's kind of chaotic. No one's really very grounded. No one's really very present, you know? And so it kind of plays into this busyness of the season where we're not able to get grounded and to be still and to really go inward and connect with what's really going on.
Yeah, I just had my birthday December 6th, and I went
from congratulations, happy birthday!
31 and having fun. So I had my boyfriend here and we had such a fun time. I dropped him off the airport and I literally sat at the airport and waited for my best friend to fly in. And so for about a week straight, I was just running on adrenaline and dopamine and serotonin, having so much fun. And I'll never forget. I dropped my best friend off at the airport in Miami and I drove the overseas highway back down here to the Keys, and the full moon was just rising over the highway and just like glistening over the ocean. But I went from feeling the happiest I've ever felt in my life to all of a sudden these negative, dark shadow thoughts were plaguing me. And well, even when I got home and just like told my best friend, hey, I made it, and I started talking to my boyfriend again, they were like, what shifted? What? And I was like, I don't know. There's just all these thoughts coming up. I swear it was this full moon.
Well, you were able to get quiet. And if you think about it, if you think of what the moon symbolizes, it symbolizes our subconscious. And so when it aligns with the sun like that, it's almost like a spotlight into our subconscious. So those things that maybe for the past month or many months, maybe even the past year, because it affects different houses each moon. So every moon of the year, new moon and full moon, it's hitting off a different area of your life. So we haven't had, you know, a full moon in Gemini for a year. So whatever, and if you think about it, it's like the moon is casting a light on whatever shadows have been hiding and lurking in there that you've been ignoring and avoiding. And, you know, again, Gemini's that busyness, but it does rule the mind and what's going on there. And where does the mind go when you're not keeping it preoccupied with other things?
Yeah, all of a sudden I went from feeling so confident and love and happy to I don't trust him. I'm insecure about myself. I'm not confident. And I was like, what? This is some Gemini magic shit right here.
You're like, this is not mine, or is it? I'm confused.
I didn't tell myself these are not my thoughts. I don't know why they won't go away.
Right. And, you know, they're there for you to look at and acknowledge and to think about, to question. Mm-hmm. But I think it's really all about, you know, trying to get quiet. And that's really what it is. It's like being quiet with your thoughts.
Wow.
And there's a fire truck going by to agree with us on that. Little sign.
Yeah, I'll catch the noises here in the treehouse. So that's funny. This full moon in Gemini like kept me up all night with my thoughts. They would not stop. It was like I ate a big edible.
Oh, really?
That's what it felt like. My thoughts were just spinning and racing out of control. And I'm like, I am not a fan of the full moon in Gemini.
Well, it's funny because, you know, I called that article mind control. Like, how do we get control of our minds again from racing all over the place?
I sent that to my boyfriend and said, see, I'm not crazy. It's the moon, honey. It's the moon.
Oh, that's so funny. Well, we're entering the eclipse portal on Christmas Day, which is the next, which is a new moon. It's actually a solar eclipse in Capricorn on Christmas Day. So this is the opening of, you know, the door between the worlds. It's the opening of the veils. To me, the eclipse times are the most exciting times of the year. So they usually happen in pairs, 2 weeks apart on the new and full moon, and they happen every 6 months. But it's like this is the real 2 week portal, and it's when everyone's having a lot of insights and downloads. You know, you can communicate with people who are on the other side a lot easier. But it's a quickening. And basically what's happening is we're getting catapulted forward on our evolutionary path because the nodes are always involved in the eclipses. So the North Node and South Node are the nodes of destiny and what the soul came here to learn in this lifetime. And so the eclipses always trigger fated events, and they open so many doors to opportunities and possibilities if you're willing to kind of move forward in that direction. And it will tend to close the doors behind you. So it kind of pushes you out of your comfort zone in many ways. And especially if you haven't been doing that for yourself, it's like you get a little cosmic push there, and it you might not be happy with it in the beginning because it's really uncomfortable because you didn't bring it upon yourself. It was kind of forced upon you, but it's like you needed it. You needed a little kind of, jumpstart to get yourself moving in the right direction so that you can reach your highest potential. But it's just a time of being very psychic. It does also rule some kind of confusion. And so you're not supposed to make any important decisions in that eclipse portal, which is between December 25th and January 10th. That's when the second eclipse hits, and that kind of closes that door. But wow. Basically, this full moon in Capricorn, or sorry, new moon in Capricorn, it's a really positive time. But remember, most people are with their families at right. Christmas time or during the holidays. And so this can be extra triggering. And because the South Node is with Capricorn in this energy, the South Node is like our karmic past, our old habitual patterns that we get pulled into. And who usually, you know, triggers those old patterns but our family, because they can kind of, they push our buttons like no one else, you know?
Yep.
And so it's like being with your family at the eclipse times is a lot more intense because the energy is more intense and everyone's a little bit more on edge. So I would say this is not a good time for any kind of confrontations, or, you know, not a good time to talk about politics or, you know, religious ideals during the family holidays, because everyone's going to be a little bit more on edge. But if you think about it, the positive aspects, how you can kind of take this energy and get it to work for you. This is about releasing those old patterns, about breaking the old traditional, you know, even ways of thinking or responses to whatever's coming up for you. And it's a big piece of this is letting go of control and, you know, dealing with family. And it's like everyone wants to maybe have their say. And it's just like, letting go of that and, you know, letting go of also doing what's expected of you by your parents or by society at large, and really starting to live your life for yourself and doing, you know, what you really feel called or drawn to do.
Yeah. So how about those impeachment hearings?
Oh, I know.
Just kidding. Just kidding. Yeah. I'll be down here hiding under a palm tree. I will not be with you. And I'm okay. I am. Everyone's like, don't you feel bad? You're not. No, I will be with my pug under a palm tree sipping a smoothie. Goodbye.
That sounds like a good place to be. And the good news is that we do have, with this new moon, we have Jupiter. So Jupiter is a benefit planet. It rules blessings, prosperity, abundance. And so it's actually pouring a lot of positive energy for spiritual growth during this eclipse time, for people to really start taking the higher path. When situations come up or get triggered, it's like, I'm going to tell a new story. I'm going to react differently, or maybe I'm not going to react at all. I'm just going to become the observer.
Wow. Does this eclipse portal have anything to do with the ones you came on the show and spoke about, the really intense eclipses in July of this year?
Yes, because they are very similar, because the nodes are in the same signs. So the North Node is in Cancer and the South Node is in Capricorn. So the nodes stay in a sign for a year and a half. So basically the past year and a half of eclipses have all been in these signs, in the Cancer North Node. And so with Cancer North Node, it's like, what are we learning as a collective conscious? You know, a lot of times what Cancer has to teach us is to learn to validate our feelings, to learn to be able to express ourselves and learn to be vulnerable and to listen to your intuition and learn to nurture others, but also being able to stay centered in your emotional state and in your own feelings too. But it's how can we validate, you know, feelings and see the importance of being able to express them and share them? Whereas the South Node in Capricorn is more an energy of, you know, be stoic and being more emotionally shut down. And so as a collective conscious, for the past year and a half, this is what we've been learning here on planet Earth. But these are the last eclipses in that axis of Cancer Capricorn for another 9 years. So the next set of eclipses we have this summer in June and July, which they're going to be significant because those are actually going to be, we're going to have three eclipses during that time. Usually they come in pairs, but this summer we're going to have three eclipses in that new axis of Gemini and Gemini North Node and Sagittarius South Node. So they'll be teaching us new lessons at the collective consciousness, which have to do with, you know, Gemini has a lot to do about asking questions and truly being interested in other people's points of view, other people's perspective. And it's about learning to connect with a larger group, a larger circle, where you're not kind of feeling the need to be right. You know, it's like putting that aside, a kind of our self-righteousness, which would be this, the negative south node of Sagittarius, and being more exclusive to a time of being more inclusive and, you know, really interested in other people's belief systems and why they think the way they do, but kind of seeing more of a commonality between all of us and again, inclusion, allowing other people of all different kinds of ways of viewing other people's perspectives, whatever situation is going on, but really having a curiosity. So it's about bringing people together more in a community.
Wow. And how perfect does that flow with the great transformation of breaking down the system?
Exactly. It's breaking down those old structures that keep us divided, or, you know, that, wow, that kind of keep us in a energy of separation.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
So 2020 is the great transformation. What was 2019?
2019, I wouldn't say necessarily had, didn't have like a name given to it, but what I see it as really the last 3 years, 4 years has been a build up to this time.
Oh, I can totally see that.
But the good news is moving into 2020, you know, Jupiter just moved into Capricorn. So a lot of these lessons that we have to do with Capricorn and building a new structure for society, but also it's being able to take responsibility for our actions, for everyone to be a little bit more mature, to show up, to do their work, to say what you know they're going to do, what they say they're going to do. And it's also the lesson bringer. So it's like, our lessons are here to be learned, to be acknowledged, to be seen. Let's do what we need to do so that we can kind of thrive over the next however many years while we're inhabiting this earth. How are we going to live? How are we going to take responsibility for how we even, you know, connect with the planet and the resources of the planet and get out of that sense of power struggles of me versus them and who's in charge, who has the, you know, authority, who has the power, into one of, you know, of taking care of everyone involved, including Mother Nature, and giving her a voice, because Capricorn does rule Earth. It's an Earth sign. So it rules the physicality of the world and of the planet.
That's so cool. Now, do you do astrological forecasts for decades?
I can. Yes, we can go forward or backward in time for however long. So, you know, it's rare. Usually people want to know, you know, just the next year, the next couple of years, kind of what's going on for them. But of course, we can go 10 years in the future and see, you know, where your lessons are or what's going to manifest for you or what's going on in your chart. And I think that's the beauty of astrology, is that you can go forward and backward in time and see events that either have taken place or are going to take place. And so forecasting is just a great predictive tool to use to see how the planets are affecting your exact birth chart, to see what, you know, what experiences you might have in the near future or way into the future.
Yeah, you know, I love forecasting, but I also love looking back. Like, 2019 was a year of this for me. Did events like that transpire? I love that nostalgic feeling.
Right. And so, you know, some other things that are going to be happening during 2020 is we have both Venus and Mars retrograding, and that didn't happen last year. So they don't always retrograde every year, but whenever a planet retrogrades, it's a time of like reinventing ourselves almost, or reevaluating things that are happening in our life. But it's almost kind of like coming to a standstill in a sense, because it's like the way I've been doing this maybe isn't working out so well. So let me take stock of, you know, what is and isn't working before I move forward again. And so just wanting to share some about both of these planets, because they are personal planets. So they do affect us in a very personal way, where the outer planets, Saturn and Pluto, Neptune, Uranus, they're more what's happening as a conscious collective for the greater whole. But when the personal planets go retrograde, which the sun and moon never do, they never go retrograde. They're always going direct. But we have to take a deeper look within about what's going on with us. And May 13th is when Venus goes retrograde for 6 weeks. And so during Venus retrograde, Venus rules our value system. Like, what do we value? What do we base our worth on? Self-worth, self-love, self-confidence, self-esteem. And so we're reevaluating our, you know, what it is that we do value. And it's retrograding in Gemini, which has to do with, you know, asking questions and making choices. There's always a choice to be made when Gemini is involved, because it's kind of like you're giving the pros and cons and trying to decide which way to go. But I will say that Venus retrograde is not a good time for self-beautification in any way. So not a good time for a tattoo or new hairdo or any kind of cosmetic whatever, because you usually won't like the results once it goes direct. So that's also for buying a house, starting a new relationship, buying a new car. You see beauty in a different light when it's retrograde. And then when it moves direct again, you're kind of like, what was I thinking? That is not even beautiful in any way, shape, or form. So if you were to purchase a house during this time, when it went direct, you'll be like, what, you know, what was I thinking? And even, you know, if you started dating someone during a Venus retrograde, you start to realize maybe when it moves direct again, you have a very different value system, and this is maybe not the relationship for you.
Oh my God. I have had that happen to me. You look back at a relationship and think, what did I see in that person?
Tell people, like, put the blinders on when Venus is retrograde, because what you're mainly doing is reevaluating your value system, what it is that you truly value, but as well as you're reviewing your finances as well, because Venus does rule money. So kind of just reevaluating how you look at money, what you appreciate about it, maybe even giving yourself some more boundaries around it, you know, respecting it more, that sort of thing as well.
My Venus is in Scorpio in the sixth house. How would that affect me?
So how the sixth house rules health and it rules work. And so what you place a value on is health and your work. And Scorpio, as you know, is a very all or nothing sign. So you're either all in or all out. And it's very passionate. It's very intense. It is very committed to, it's like there's a lot of drive when it comes to Scorpio. If it says it's going to do something, it's going to do it. It's going to make it happen. It can have like tunnel vision, razor sharp focus to make things happen. And that is, I would say, one of the very positive aspects of Scorpio. If they put their mind to something, they are going to do it. And so when it comes to your health routine or your health regime, I know that you eat really healthy, and even just exercise, but also, as we know, it's also an emotional state. Health is very much having to do with looking at our, you know, our emotions and how we process them, and are we holding them because they become toxic if we hold them in, but how do we heal them? How do we release them? And Scorpio is, you know, Scorpio is about doing the shadow work and looking at those aspects of ourselves. But I would say, you know, healing the emotional maybe traumas that you've been through to help your health in that sense, but also in a work sense, just feeling really driven that, but you must feel emotionally connected and passionate about the work that you do.
Yeah. Wow. That's so funny you say all or nothing, because when I had my little Gemini full moon meltdown, my friends were like, Steph, you are so black and white. All or nothing. You just relax. And I'm like, my moon is also in Scorpio. No, I cannot.
Right. And so, well, that's the thing. And because with a moon in Scorpio, it takes you over. Like you feel something emotionally and it's like you lose control. The emotions are in the driver's seat and it's really hard for you to come back into balance again because you feel things so deeply and you take things so personally.
Oh, wow. Is that why when I meet a new partner, I'm like, do you want to get married? First
date? Yes. You're all or nothing. You're like, are we doing this or not? I just need to know if I let myself go there emotionally or not.
I really can't. I cannot. I tell people I'm mate for life. I cannot just have casual flings. And they're like, but you're a Sagittarius. That's like the bachelor of the zodiac.
Yes. But remember, it's so important to look at all the other aspects. Like the sun sign to me is how you see yourself, but it is not. It does not rule everything else. And no sign more than Scorpio wants to merge with another. And I mean merge intimately in an intimate connection, not always necessarily sexually, but just having that emotional space to be very open with one another, very vulnerable with one another.
Yeah. You know, I've always said that someone cheating on me physically would hurt, obviously, but what would really cut me deep is if someone formed an emotional bond.
Right.
Like a deep friendship with someone. That would hurt me even more.
Exactly. Because you have this like desire for such that intimate connection to be able to, it's like you really become one with your significant other.
Oh yes. Best friends are nothing. Now, how would my Taurus rising play into all that? What is Taurus like in relationships?
Well, I mean, I wouldn't say Taurus rising. I mean, it has to do with the self, but remember the rising is more how other people view and see you. Oh. So they see you, you know, Taurus is ruled by Venus. So Venus is the ruler of your chart. Whatever Venus is doing affects you more than everyone else. So I would say when this Venus goes retrograde in May, you're going to really pull inward during that time. So just knowing that. And that's the one of the things I love about astrology. It's all about self-validating. It's about understanding how we work and then being able to see when these, you know, these instances are coming up for us to acknowledge. And we're like, oh, this is what's going on for me. I'm pulling into myself. I'm going inward now for 6 weeks so that I can reevaluate some things. But other people see you as this Venusian influence. And so they do see you as very beautiful. They see you as very grounded. They see you as very earthy. And I know you say, you know, people call you a hippie or whatever, but yes, you are earthy. You do love nature. You do love connecting with nature. And so it's kind of like you love the aesthetics of, you know, the world. You love, you know, even just beautifying yourself is fun. You really enjoy it. And you enjoy the connection with the natural world.
You know, growing up, my mom, she's such a tomboy hard ass. She would always be like, why do you like to wear pretty sundresses? Why do you take time to curl your hair every morning? And I was like, it just makes me feel good. Yes. I don't care what
you love it.
You feel nice. Okay. I love my long hair.
Well, and it's, if you think about it, it's very feminine. It's a very, you know, there's only really the moon and Venus are the only feminine planets. And so it's just a very feminine yin being in that more soft energy. That's where you feel at home. That's where you feel your best.
Totally. And Tara, you'd be proud of me. I got my Scorpio moon tattooed on my wrist.
I'm so proud of you. I need to see it. I haven't seen a picture of it yet. You'll have to send me a picture.
It's my very first tattoo that I've ever received. And it's a half a crescent moon that turns into an ocean wave to represent the water.
Oh, wow.
With the Scorpio M in the middle.
I love it. And good for you for not doing it during a Venus retro.
I knew it. Because I knew no calls
cosmetics during Venus retrograde. No haircuts. I don't have lots of haircuts, so I know.
And so we also have Mars going retrograde this year in 2020, and that is happening in the fall from September 9th to November 14th. So Mars retrograde has to do with our will, our drive, and Mars is known to be the warrior. So, you know, wherever Mars shows up in your chart is where you're very driven, where you become the warrior. And it's retrograding in Aries. And Aries has to do with Yeah. So it's going to actually be in your sign. So it'll be but that's not your sun sign. What do you have in Aries?
Mars and Aries.
Oh, you have your Mars and Aries. Okay. So you're going to have a Mars over Mars conjunction. So you're going to be extremely driven during this time. You're going to be making things happen. And Mars is about change. It's the change act, like it's the change agent. It's will, drive, but it's also about severing and cutting. So I always tell people during Mars retrograde from September through November, do not get surgery because it rules the blade. It's the sword. And a lot of times it will sever things. People might break up with someone, or this could also be possibly male, like ex-boyfriends, males from the past coming back into your life and wanting to kind of get a second chance or show up in some way, shape, or form. And you're like, nope, we already did that. But, you know, Mars is like where we're addressing things, and we want to see a physical change. We want to see a result from this. And we feel, you know, because it becomes a more internal process, because it's not an external process at this time, with it being in Aries as well. Aries has to do with the self, but as well as where we have courage, where we're ready to show up in the world and have courage. And so when it's retrograding, I think we're really going to be looking at the areas of our life and specifically what house it's in your chart. You can see where it manifests for you. But wherever this Aries is retrograding, where do you need to have more courage to show up in that area of your life? But again, a lot of it's defining the self. And so a lot of identity stuff is going to be coming up at this time because it just is like, who am I? Who am I to show up in the world in this way? And so we're all going to be kind of working on that, and maybe things that we don't like about ourselves, we're ready to make those changes once the planet goes direct in November.
I am seeing such a perfect flow of energies, like in the beginning of the year, break down the whole system. Middle of the year, well, who am I? How do I do this? At the end of the year, taking action to be that new person that fits in the new system. Is that right?
It does. And one of the great things, this doesn't always happen, is we have a lot of forward momentum actually happening at the beginning of the year, because starting on the 11th of January, all the planets are going to be moving direct. So all the planets are going to be moving forward. So that's a lot of forward momentum. Yeah, it's like pushes you to start making things happen. And that's going to be that way for approximately 2 months. So I would say if there is something you want to launch, if there is something that you're wanting to make happen, the first 2 months of the year are a great time to like get on your horse and make that drive to make it happen, because you're going to be very supported by the astrological planets to be able to move through whatever obstacles you have.
Oh, that's awesome. And it's so wild that no matter what's going on in the skies, January 1st, there's a collective feeling of new. Everybody wants to go to the gym. Everybody wants to finally do the work they've been putting off during the holiday season. So that's already floating in the air. But the fact that it's smack dab in the middle of an eclipse portal.
Yes, exactly. And so remember, the eclipse is a time when people really aren't thinking that clearly either. And so, and again, they're kind of reevaluating the last year, what happened, what experiences they had, what they manifested, and thinking what they're wanting to create for the next year. And this eclipse that's happening in January is happening in Cancer. So it has to do also with, you know, security and safety and emotions, and it is a full moon, which is also about emotions. So when there's a full moon in a water sign, it's just going to be very emotional. And it is trining Neptune, and Neptune's about unconditional love because it's the higher octave of Venus. So it's like kind of that oneness, and it's about our dreams, you know, following our dreams, but also paying attention to our dreams. And I always find my dreams get really vivid around the full moon. It's like it's sparking those places of the subconscious mind and bringing them into the consciousness so that you can interpret them and get a better understanding of what is going on inside. And our intuition is also peaked during this time, both with the eclipse, but also a full moon and a water sign. It's like eclipses are like triple new moons or triple full moons. They hold that much energy, and they really affect our lives for the next 6 months. And it rules family, you know, and that togetherness, and what does home look like, and what does foundation look like? What is it that we want to create? And I think people are going to kind of be thinking about that long term, like, what do I want to build in this area of my life? Because remember, it's not going to come back around to the North Node in Cancer again on the eclipses for 18 years.
Wow. So how can someone find what part of their chart that's in?
Well, they would just have to look at where 4 degrees Capricorn and 19 degrees Cancer, whatever houses those are falling in, that will be the areas of life where they're experiencing the eclipse. So that's going to be the area of life where they're noticing the most transformation and transition over the next 6 months, and where they might get that cosmic kind of kick to get them moving, to do whatever it is they're supposed to be doing for their own evolutionary growth.
Mm-hmm. And for the people who just heard you say 4 degrees Capricorn, 19 degrees Cancer, and are like, what? Do you offer personal readings where you can say, okay, give me your info and let's start 2020?
So anyone who's interested in a reading, I give readings all throughout the week via my website, which is tarajadenichols.com. And I also have an Instagram account, which is Tara Jade Star, where I post just a lot of cosmic insights to, you know, certain aspects that are happening, new moon, full moon, the retrogrades, anything that might be going on that is going to help you, you know, make decisions. When is a good time to make decisions? And just the energy of what's going on. And I just today am launching my new podcast called Star Alchemy. Yay! So anyone who's interested, thank you, in weekly cosmic insights or updates, or just want to know more about astrology and how it affects you, I will be sharing information on my podcast, Star Alchemy, every week. So please tune in.
And they can find that on iTunes, Podbean, everywhere?
Yes, iTunes, Podbean, I believe Spotify.
Cool. And we will totally add that to our show notes as well.
Awesome.
Well, Tara, thank you so much for coming on the show and giving us a forecast. I really feel like I know what to do in 2020.
Well, thank you for having me, Stephanie. It's always so fun, such a joy to share and to talk and connect with you. And I'm feeling really excited for 2020. Some people can be intimidated by all the energy, but I see it as this is change that needs to happen, and it's going to be, you know, something that benefits everyone, maybe not right away, but we have been seeking this great transformation for a long period of time. And I think that it's just what we need to kind of push us over the edge for the collective consciousness to evolve.
Yeah. 2020, the great transformation. Here we come. Thank you, Tara. All right,
thank you, Stephanie.
Wow. What do you guys think of that? How synchronistic is it that we have these eclipse portals in January that's going to completely shake up the system? And then mid-year, we're like, well, who am I? How do I fit in this new system? And then at the end of the year, we get the courage and the motivation to become that person. Whew! Covered in truth bumps, as we say here on the podcast. Now this Friday bonus chat, I think I'm going to bring my boyfriend JL on the show. He is a Virgo with a Scorpio moon. Talk about intense, right? He knows a little bit about it, but I think he thinks he knows more than he actually does. I love it when men are interested in astrology, and he is. He's scratching the surface of it. So it's going to be a really fun episode this Friday, bonus chat, where I kind of pop quiz him on his birth chart. If you guys want to tune into this episode, join the premium plan subscription. It is $9.99 a month, and you can cancel anytime. You have no obligation, simply to enjoy the episodes. You can find that at lightworkerslounge.podbean.com. Click on any Friday bonus chat, and at the bottom, and I think it's yellow or orange text, hit subscribe. Okay, friendly reminder that your home away from home, lightworkers-lounge.com, you can find everything you need. You can find online counseling, our merchandise line, the moon sign hoodies, and we're going to be adding tank tops and t-shirts and other stuff soon. You can find birth charts. You can find the article on how I started Lightworkers Lounge. I bet you guys didn't know that. I share the entire story in detail of how I healed my autoimmune disease and how that spurred the transition from me working a 9-to-5 to Lightworkers Lounge. It's a really interesting story. I'm also an ambassador for the school that I went to. It's called the Institute for Integrative Nutrition. And you guys get $1,000 off tuition for being a member of the Lightworkers Lounge community. Don't know why I shared this. This was not planned to share this, so I feel like someone listening needed to hear it. But go to lightworkers-lounge.com, email me if you have any questions, and just snoop around. That website is for you. It's for you to step into your role as a lightworker. So if you're feeling stuck, don't know what your purpose is, don't know what to do, go to lightworkers-lounge.com, snoop around. I love you guys. You are my tribe. I'm going to leave you guys with a song that my bestie Sarah and I were blasting as we rode bikes around Key West. It was so much fun, such good vibes. This song is called Tribe by Jim Swim. You can find it on Lightworkers Lounge Spotify playlist of the month. Hey, that's another thing. Go check out our Spotify playlist. There's one to chill, there's one to do yoga to, there's one to dance to, there's one to raise your spirits. It's all for you. I love you guys. See you on Instagram and see you next week. Goodbye.
Mr. Swim can't be no sub. Get on the mic just to see what's up. Free in life, well, free enough. With the least of some lights in a leaky tub. I got a bug in me, swollen nose. Cut that out once I know the codes. Trust my route just as it goes. It's an S-curve throw, not a frozen rope. And I don't need a map, so I folded and buried it. Under the boulder, I roll while I carried it. I want it new, not the news it is parroted. Tell me your story, don't impose your narrative. Pardon a partisan. More heart in my heart again. It's fun just to start again. Arson my boundary, letting the party in. You are my tribe. So do what you like. Yeah, you are my tribe. So you can come in, but your friends stay outside.